Jesus. God, we come today on this Easter Sunday, Lord, so full of thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, that you are the one who pulled us out of our mess. You saved us. You redeemed us. You healed us. You restored us. Jesus, we lift up your name today as a banner of victory over our lives. And so, Lord, we look to you and we say, all hail King Jesus. You are above it all, God. We worship you. Jesus, we love you. I know some of us were guests today and maybe you've never been in church before. I want you to be comfortable in this space. You don't need to do anything that feels unusual to you. But for those of us who are believers in Jesus today, this is our day. This is the moment where we get to come and worship a risen King who saved us, loved us, pulled us out of darkness. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose up from that grave. You defeated sin and death. Lord, we worship you today. We love you, Jesus. We praise your name, God, because we were those who were far off, distant, undeserving of grace. But you came in, you stepped in when we needed it most, poured out your love for us. Jesus, today we come and worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me say a special welcome to those of you who it is your first time with us today. And if you are a guest with us today, our prayer is that you leave feeling like family. We're so glad you're here. I hope today is refreshing in some kind of way for you, especially for those of us who don't regularly attend church gatherings. My hope is that today you would experience something here as we gather together as a church that would be meaningful to you, a profound connection to God, because we believe that God is still living, is still moving, is still speaking, is still healing and restoring. And so our hope for you is that as you step into our church today, maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you wouldn't consider yourself a person who has a faith. I'll just tell you up front, my hope is that you would leave today and that would be different for you. That you would leave today and say, man, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something here for me when it comes to the idea of faith, of what Jesus has done for us. So we're excited to be in church today, aren't we? Easter Sunday, it's a good day to be here. We've been very excited throughout this week in our house because it's a big week. And my family particularly. Let me just show you a couple of pictures for those of you who are new to our church. So on you met Meg earlier, for those of you who are here. This is Meg with my daughter, Evelyn. She's a three-year-old. Turning 13 soon, I think. And this is my son. He's 4 months old now. That was taken, he was about 2 weeks now, I'm joking, but he's massive. He's a big baby. And so he's one of these babies that you buy him an outfit and the next day he's grown out of it. So, we've been very excited about building up to Easter. So we've done all the Easter egg hunts. My daughter has been eating more chocolate than is healthy for her, but she's been very excited. But we actually went to an Easter egg hunt last weekend and the person was stood up and he said, what happens at Easter, kids? So, you know, I'm about to open up to the book of John to tell them what. And they say, Easter is what happened was the Easter bunny came from Rome. I was like, is that the story? That's new to me. Fine. And gave out eggs. So I'm holding my daughter and I was like, don't you listen to that man. That is not what Easter's about. Like, and so this week we've been kind of, you know, doing Bible stories, reading. She'd been watching this kind of kids TV thing all about Easter. So I pick up my daughter from school, from her preschool this week. And the teacher says, yeah, we had a good day. I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? And she says, so they were doing bunnies and Easter bunnies. And so as they're about to start talking about Easter and about the Easter bunny, my daughter apparently says, no. It's like, Evelyn, work on the tone, babe. It's fine. Says, Easter is actually about when Jesus went to the cross and was crucified for our sin. I was like, yes, Evelyn, you tell him, girl. So the teacher's telling me this and I'm like, yes, come on. So I feel like we got a win as a parent this week. Because we're in church on Easter, I want us to look a little bit at the story of Easter and Jesus For those of us unfamiliar with the story, hopefully you'll get to know it a little bit better as we go through today. And if you're new to church, generally what this time looks like is someone's going to stand up, talk about the Bible I'm going to aim for about 30 minutes. But if I go long, I hope you brought snacks today. Ready to go. It's what my wife does. She comes prepared. She's like, sometimes he preaches too long. So we'll see how we go today. But we're going to look at the Easter story from the perspective of a man called Cleopas. And Cleopas, we bump into this man in the book of Luke chapter 24 in the Bible. And what's happened up to this point is that Jesus has gone to the cross. Jesus has died. And then Cleopas is starting to hear rumors that maybe Jesus has raised up from the dead. But up to this point, Cleopas is with a friend, and they have walked about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified. And what we can see from the story is Cleopas is devastated about what's happened these last couple of days. And to give some context to what's happened, the people of God, the Israelites in this time, were in a place where they were very nervous and very because they have heard that there is a Messiah to come. They've heard from prophets for hundreds of years is someone's coming to save us. Someone's coming to save us. Someone's coming to save us. And then the Roman Empire comes in, invades, takes over. And then they're in a place where they need saving. And so Cleopas assumes that they're going to be able to be saved by Jesus in some kind of military expedition or some other way. And then what happens is that Jesus goes to the cross, is tortured. He has whips and chunks of skin taken out. The crown of thorns is put on his head. And Cleopas sees all of this and is devastated. As you can imagine, one of your closest friends is tortured in front of you, and he's devastated. And so let me take a step out of the Easter story just for a moment, if I can. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation or circumstance in life where you have been mourning, where life has become very challenging, where situations have come your way that have overwhelmed you. I think for some of us, maybe even this week, you've said, man, I felt overwhelmed by some of the situations in life this week. And I was just even thinking as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about some of my friends throughout this year, some of the situations that have happened in their life. I just want to read a couple of the things I was thinking about. I've had friends who this year have lost their jobs unexpectedly. You can only know how that'll shake you if it's happened to you. That you're going, everything's fine, finances seem okay, and then out of the blue, your income gets taken away from you. I've had friends who have lost parents or relatives, and they're wrestling with the deep grief that comes with that. I've had friends who are processing trauma from the past, that things have come up in their life that have been painful, and they've remembered it from the past, and they're having to emotionally process things. I've had friends who have had health scares this year. Friends where marriages have started to feel like they were breaking down. I've seen people go through intense crises in faith. Like, do I believe? And suddenly it feels existential. It's like what I built my whole life around, I'm not sure about this anymore. I've got friends who have experienced suicidal thoughts, trying to figure out if they still want to be here. Mental health scares in their life. And the reason I share all that is because Cleopas in this moment is in one of his darkest moments. And I almost want to read you into this story a little bit today. I think if you have had a moment, either like Cleopas or even some of my friends here, maybe you'd be able to relate, where you say, it's got really tough at a certain point, then I think that you can relate to some of what we see Cleopas experience in the coming verses. And the beauty of the story of Easter is that Jesus has an answer. And I want us to look at what that is. So let's have a look together. We're going to open up the Bible, Luke chapter 24. And we're going to have a look from verse 13 to verse 18. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it's fine. We're going to put it up on the screens. But Luke 24, verse 13 to 18, it says this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Cleopas is in this place. He's like, "Are you living under a rock? Like, do you not know what's going on here? This is devastating. This has been terrible. Where have you been?" And his face is downcast. He's disappointed and discouraged. And I just think maybe for some of us, that sounds familiar in our lives. But here's the beautiful thing about the story of Easter. In this moment with Cleopas, Jesus was present in this moment of their story before they ever recognized that he was there. But before they could understand that it was Jesus, Jesus was with them. See, I was talking about some of my friends earlier who have experienced grief. And before they could understand that Jesus was with them, he was there present in that moment. They couldn't see it at the time, but as they started to walk, they started to realize that he was there. When I'm talking about a friend who was in a depressive state that led to a suicidal attempt, Jesus was there, led her out of that situation. My friends who have experienced losing their jobs, I've seen Jesus taking them on a journey of discovering greater purpose for their life, that he has more for them. And so in the middle of their situation, Jesus was there walking with them. See, that's the promise of this story, that Jesus is present even when we don't fully see it. Let's keep reading these verses together. We're going to continue in Luke 24, verses 28 to 31. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. It's interesting, Cleopas, his posture suddenly changed. He was very frustrated with him when he arrives. And then the longer he's around Jesus, the more he wants him to stay. Can I just tell you, if you are here today, and I'm so pleased that you are, the reason we encourage people to come back to church the week after Easter is because Jesus is here then as well. There's something about when you are just around the presence of God for a bit longer, things start to change. Things in your life start to shift. If you show up for Easter and we see you again at Christmas, it'll be great, but it's not going to have the transformation that it has the potential to have. And Jesus, when we spend time around him, things shift in our lives. But let's keep reading. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Man, there's something about this journey of seeing Jesus. And here's the thing I want to pose to some of us as we reflect on these verses. I don't know how you came into church today. I don't know what brought you here. I don't know what your story is for many of you. But here's the thing I want to pose to you. Perhaps Jesus has been walking with you even if you haven't recognized him. Much like Cleopas, he couldn't see him to start with. They couldn't recognize him to start with. But maybe Jesus has also been walking with you. Because here's the thing, I know about some of your lives, I'm guessing about others of you. Some of you, you shouldn't be here today. Life threw enough at you that you shouldn't be here today. whether that was around a crisis of faith or uncertainty about the church, or whether that was about, we've got people in our church today, they should not be alive today. But Jesus intervened in a moment in their life where their eyes were opened. That's the thing I loved about these verses. If we can just throw back up verse 30 and 31 there, it says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. There's this moment where they went from, this is nice, this is comforting, something's going on in our life that's different and unique, to, oh, he's here. Like Jesus, their eyes were opened. Maybe Jesus has been walking with you up to this point, and for some of us, the way he's been walking with you and you haven't recognized it, maybe it's that text that you got off a friend that one day where you really needed someone to come through for you. And it was a friend prompted by God to message you. Or maybe it was like that song that just kept going on around in your head that you used to sing when you're in junior school, and you're like, why is that? And it's like, God is just reminding you of his goodness in different ways. Or maybe it was the fact that you showed up today and you're like, I'm not quite sure why I'm here. I just knew I needed to come to church. Or maybe someone like dragged you along and they lied to you and told you you were going for lunch and you showed up in church. You're like, okay, I guess I'm here. And even that was God bringing you through to a point where you needed to see something today. Because the moment where they sat down and Jesus starts to break the bread and give thanks, and then they go, oh, it's him. And their eyes were opened. And I think today for some of us is a day where it's like he's been walking with you and you haven't recognized him. But today it's like your eyes are going to be opened. It's like, oh, there is something different here going on. There is more to life than I maybe thought up to this point. There's something different here that I hadn't seen before, but now I see it. I see it differently. That I love this last verse I want to show you in Luke 24, verse 32. It's just this first part of this verse. It says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Were not our hearts burning within us? I have only ever experienced one thing in my life that has caused my heart to come alive and burn within me. I remember growing up, I used to be told about this idea of how God made us. It's like he made you with this hole within you. And it was the search for purpose and the meaning of life and why we're here and what life is all about. And God created that within us. And some of us, we go searching in different directions. We'll go and search in our careers, or we'll go and search in our relationships. We go and search in our friendships, and we try and fill the hole within us. We try and fill that gap within us. But the reason God made it is because he wants us to come and say yes to him and allow him to fill that space, that part of us that only he can fill. And so Cleopas is looking across to his friend and he says, were not our hearts burning within us when he was here? And so we've been talking over these last few weeks and today at Easter about the heart of Jesus. And so what I feel for us today as we're in the room, we're watching online afterwards, is that the heart of Jesus is to make your heart burn within you. The heart of Jesus is make your heart to burn within you. Like when you discover that Jesus is the way, something happens in you where you go, oh, this is it. This is the meaning to everything. I hadn't seen it before. Now I see it. I see him and I want to give my life to following him and I want to pursue him. And I'm like, let me read the Bible and understand it. Let me get in church community and let me pray and let me sing. And some of you are like, I don't sing. I never sing. I don't like singing. But suddenly you start singing because you're like, well, I guess if Jesus is it, let me just sing. And something happens in you when you realize he's everything. And your eyes are opened and your heart starts to burn within you. You say, this is it. And how does that start? For many of us, it starts with just a nudge. Like you're sat in a service like you are today, and you just get this nudge where you go, I think there's something here. I think there's more to life than what I had known up to this point. I see it differently. Like I walked in one way and I think I might be walking out a different way. And for some of us, like, to be clear, that's not going to be all of our stories today. Some of you are here today and you're like, man, this was fun. This is interesting. And I just want to say to you today, like, this is a church. This is a place where you can just keep coming on a journey of faith, figuring out what life is for you. We want to build community where we're all figuring life out together. But for some of us today, you're going to have this moment where you go, oh, this is it. Because let me promise you something. Your heart is not going to burn within you because you've got a good 9-to-5 job. But some of us spend our whole lives trying to get that. So your heart is not going to burn within you because you finally, you know, got that friendship or you're in that community. It's like, those are all good things. Like, I'm not denigrating those things, but it will not fulfill you in the way that Jesus can. That's my conviction. That's my experience. And to be honest, it's the experience of a lot of people in this room where we say, we've tried all the other stuff. We've gone after all the other things, but there's only one thing that has caused our heart to burn within us. To say, man, this is it. We've discovered it. We found what it's all about, and it's Jesus. That's it. And so I want to give a moment for anyone who's here today. You say, man, I came into this space today and I had no context for faith or church or Jesus. I wouldn't have called myself a Christian or someone who believes in God. But as I've been here today, I see it differently. I think maybe Jesus is real. I think maybe I do need to start to follow his ways and be a part of church community. I want that. Or maybe you're someone who says, I've been far away from Jesus for some time. I've walked away from him. I've been living my own ways and I want to come back and I want to say, yeah, I'm in. I want to follow Jesus. And for those of you that's your story, I just encourage you to think about, man, is that a step I want to take today? To say, I want to go in to follow Jesus. I want to come back to God. Let me tell you, that decision is transformative. It brings about forgiveness, joy in a deeper, authentic sense. And I believe that Jesus has that for many of us today.